Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, When Women Ran Fifth Avenue Glamour and Power at the Dawn of American Fashion by Julie Sato, is a work of narrative nonfiction that examines the rise and influence of women leaders. In New York department stores during the 20th century, centered on Hortense Oblum, Dorothy Shaver, and Geraldine Stutz, the book shows how these executives helped shape American fashion through Bonwit Teller, Lord & Taylor, and Henri Bendel. Rather than treating department stores as simple retail spaces, Sato presents them as cultural institutions where merchandising, tastemaking, and female ambition intersected. The book also places their careers in the larger history of women entering professional and commercial life, especially in an era when high-level business authority was still heavily restricted by gender. Its purpose is both historical and interpretive to recover overlooked figures, explain how they influence fashion and retail, and show why their work mattered far beyond the stores themselves. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, female executives as builders of modern retail power. A central argument of the book is that major Fifth Avenue department stores were not just places to buy goods, they were institutions that helped define American style. Sato shows how stores such as Bonwit Teller, Lord & Taylor, and Henri Bendel functioned as tastemakers, shaping what consumers considered elegant, modern, and desirable. This mattered because the department store era gave retailers unusual power over designers, manufacturers, and shoppers alike. By controlling display, buying, and presentation, these stores influenced not only what people purchased, but also how fashion circulated through American culture. The book makes clear that retail was a mechanism of cultural authority, not a passive sales channel. That perspective helps explain why the women who led these stores could have such broad influence. Their decisions affected brand discovery, seasonal trends, and the public image of sophistication. In this sense, the book is as much about the making of taste as it is about business history. Secondly, three women, three eras, three styles of retail leadership. Sato organizes the narrative around pre-women whose careers reflect different stages in the evolution of retail leadership. Hortense Oblum rose unexpectedly into management at Bonwit Teller, demonstrating how domestic expertise and business judgment could translate into executive authority. Dorothy Shaver at Lord & Taylor is presented as a force who helped elevate American designers and earned extraordinary recognition in a male-dominated corporate world. Geraldine Stutz at Henri Bendel represents a later, more modern retail style, one tied to image, exclusivity, and curated luxury. The value of this structure is that it avoids treating female leadership as a single experience. Instead, the book shows different pathways into authority, each shaped by the norms and pressures of its time. Their careers also reveal how leadership in fashion retail required more than financial skill. It depended on aesthetic judgment, the ability to read consumer desire, and the confidence to challenge established conventions. Together, the three women form a historical sequence of expanding female influence in business. Thirdly, the rise of American style against European dominance. One of the book's most important historical themes is the gradual emergence of an American fashion identity separate from Paris. Sato emphasizes that during the early and middle 20th century, American style was often treated as derivative of European taste, especially in luxury fashion. The department stores led by these women helped change that by promoting domestic designers and cultivating confidence in American-made fashion. Dorothy Shaver is especially significant in this respect because her work at Lord & Taylor supported American design during a period when the market still looked abroad for authority. This shift had larger implications than merchandising. It helped create a national fashion ecosystem in which designers, retailers, and consumers increasingly saw American style as credible in its own right. The book, therefore, connects retail leadership to cultural independence. It shows how buying decisions inside department stores could reshape national identity by determining which aesthetic values were rewarded, displayed, and exported as modern. That makes the story relevant to both fashion history and broader economic culture. Fourthly, the department store as a pathway to female executive power. The book is also about the changing place of women in the workplace. Sato uses the department store world to trace how women moved from limited occupational roles into positions of real authority, especially in fields that valued taste, organization, and customer knowledge. These stores offered unusual opportunities because women were already visible as consumers and employees, even while top executive power remained constrained. By following Oblum, Shaver, and Stutz, the book shows how women leveraged that visibility into influence over hiring, merchandising, branding, and strategy. This is one reason the book resonates beyond fashion history. It illustrates a broader pattern in 20th century labor history. Women often entered leadership through sectors that society considered acceptable for them, then expanded those roles from within. The result was not simple equality, but incremental access to decision-making power. Sato's account is strongest when it reveals how ambition, skill, and institutional change interacted. The department store becomes a case study in how women carved out professional authority in a modern corporate setting. Lastly, recovering a lost world of retail glamour and historical memory, another important dimension of the book is its historical recovery of a vanishing world. The glamorous department stores Sato describes were once central to urban life, but their influence declined as shopping habits changed and many of these institutions disappeared. This decline gives the book a preservationist impulse. It documents a business culture that shaped fashion, urban identity, and female professional advancement before being largely forgotten. Sato does not simply mourn the loss of elegance or old retail rituals. She uses the disappearance of these stores to show how easily women's labor and leadership can be erased from public memory, even when their impact was foundational. The result is a book that combines business history with cultural remembrance. It explains how department stores worked, why they mattered, and why their female leaders deserve recognition now. That balance between analysis and recovery makes the book especially effective for readers interested in institutions, memory, and the hidden authors of modern style. It is a history of what was built and what was later obscured. In conclusion, this book will appeal to readers interested in fashion history, women's history, business leadership, urban culture, and 20th century American social change. It is especially useful for readers who want a history that is both informative and readable, since Sato combines institutional analysis with biography and cultural context. The practical benefit is a clearer understanding of how retail, branding, and tastemaking operate as forms of power. The intellectual benefit is a more nuanced view of how women gained influence in industries that rarely granted them formal authority. What makes this book stand out in its category is its focus on department stores as engines of cultural transformation rather than nostalgia pieces about old shopping spaces. It is not simply a story of glamorous retail settings, and it is not only a trio of biographies. It is a careful account of how women helped build an American fashion system and why their contributions were overlooked. Readers looking for a well-researched, historically grounded book about style and power will find it distinctive for that reason. If you would like to support Julie Sato, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.